Okay. I'm going to stand up because I like to see everybody. My name's Gail. I'm an abstinent, recovered, compulsive eater, powerless over food.
Hi, Gail.
And had been looking forward to coming to this workshop because I don't think I've actually been to one on relationships before. And then since I'm speaking, it gave me time this week to really think about what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now, which is always the stories we tell. When I came back from my relapse in 2000, the primary relationship that I had was with my partner, and it was primarily a relationship of strife with a lot of constant fighting and whatnot. And at work, if you had asked me in 2000, hey Gail, how are your relationships at work? I would have told you with a perfectly straight face and a firm belief, they're fine. I am great at work. But what I discovered as I started to work this program was that I was not the colleague I thought I was at work. And so in terms of relationship changes, changes with my partner, changes at work. And as far as friends were concerned, I have some long distance friends that are long term friends, and they are, thick and thin friends. But here, I've lived in Virginia for 30 years. When I came back into this program in 2000, I had only a couple of close friends left in my life because I had burned a lot of friendship bridges during my relapse. Although I came back to OA with no hope of being a normal size and staying a normal size, I did come back with this burning desire to be more emotionally sane. So whether I really translated that into improved relationships apart from with Deb, I'm not positive. But what I quickly discovered was that desire is not doing. And so did I come to OA knowing that I was going to need to undergo a personality change sufficient to overcome compulsive eating? No, I did not. Would I have welcomed that idea? No, it would have sounded like the craziest thing I could ever imagine. So I've been fortunate in my recovery in OA. I've been abstinent from compulsive eating, which for me means refraining from compulsive eating, for 14 years and 9 months, and 80 pounds. The thing I learned about relationships, I guess, was that if I'm going to undergo this change, it's going to mean refraining from a lot of other things, other types of behavior that are counterproductive. So one of the things that I feel so grateful for all the time is that I was able to almost miraculously make a couple of key decisions when I came back to OA that helped me stay and helped me do the work. The first one was I literally made a decision to be teachable. And I'd always been a great student. When I was in school, I was always a great student. But I never could have really called myself teachable. I made a decision when I came back to be teachable because I'd been in OA before. It hadn't worked because I was not teachable. And so that was clear to me. So that little decision turned out to be a pretty big one. And so I got a sponsor, a food sponsor, right away. Somebody I respected from just a couple of meetings I'd attended and listened to what he was doing with his program. He had a lot of experience and turned out to be almost like a miraculous fit for me. But I just made the decision. Whatever he told me to do, I was going to do it. And he never told me I was wrong, which was kind of amazing, you know. But so if he told me, okay, your schedule's opened up now, you have to go to another meeting, this is the one you're going to, I said, okay. The only thing that he ever kept telling me to do that I kept saying, not yet, was to get a step sponsor. I did drag my feet with that. Now, he was a big book wizard, professor. He applied the principles to his life, and he applied the principles as he talked to me. And so I was getting the benefit of his working the steps, but I wasn't actually working the steps myself, and I wasn't sure what this whole sponsor thing was going to be about, and I was afraid, basically, which I guess is one of the things I've learned about a lot of my relationships that I don't have. It's because I'm afraid. So I was afraid to get going with that, but ultimately, he put his foot down. That's all there is to it. He just said, okay, you're going to go to the meeting tomorrow, and you're going to get a sponsor. I said, okay, and I did. And it was a great, great thing. And I just said this recently. If I had tried to find the perfect sponsor, I may not be still recovered today. I may not have recovered in the first place because I would have been in charge. But by just picking somebody at random, my higher power put the perfect sponsor into my life. I mean, that's just how it was. And recently I had to, you know, step out and get a temporary sponsor. And I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. But then, you know, a little bit of willingness and I was able to do that. So I guess another segment of relationships in program for me are sponsor-sponsee relationships. I want to go back to the talking about the colleague at work business. I just was completely oblivious to how into everybody else's business I was at work. Not their personal business, never wanted to get involved in their personal business, but their work business. And after several months in the program, I had this experience. There was one person, you know, we heard a little bit earlier about bullying. There was one person in the office that no one liked, had a lot of unpleasant personality traits that lended themselves to being the butt of that kind of thing. And one day I interrupted him and he started to go ballistic on me. And I had just this little bit enough of program to realize that it was my fault. It was my side of the street. And I said to him, you're absolutely right. I am so sorry. I interrupted you. Please go on. And he like he was in this time warp, like he couldn't believe he just was hearing this. And he and I, our relationship went 180 degrees. And on the heels of that, watching how he changed in being the recipient of a respectful reply, I made the decision that I needed to not let myself take part anymore in when people were talking about him behind his back, when they were being mean, when they were making fun of him. And I removed myself from that. And that got me into a place where I started to take a look at how much I had been in other people's business that I didn't want to be anymore, and was able to quit that behavior. not perfect at it by any means, but I've been able to carry it on into other jobs since then. So I learned the lesson. And so, yes, you know, I was feeling like, yeah, there's this part of me that is teachable now. I can actually hear this stuff and make a change. So the at-home change relative to that was I made a decision to be, when possible, less reactive, and to try and take myself out of Deb's business. And to me, it's always been funny thinking about it retrospectively. But a few months into program, we got in the car. She was driving. We lived 8 miles from the highway, and we got to the highway, and I said to her as she pulled onto the highway, I said, "So how does it feel to drive by yourself?" And it took her a second before she realized what I was saying, and she started laughing. She said, "It feels great." And it, honest to God, it must have been the first time we'd ever gone from the house to the highway without me telling her to put on her turn signal or put on her brake or slow down or speed up or whatever, you know. And it was like, I was blind to this. I was just blind to this behavior. And so being teachable opened my eyes up a little bit. Working through the steps, of course, helped me to let go of long-held resentments. They just vanished. I mean, so many of the resentments that were in column one were completely gone before I got to column four. Those of you who happen to use the four-column method of doing a four-step written inventory, it's my preferred method. So, you know, I couldn't believe I could let go of this stuff that had niggled at me for years and years and years. And, you know, it was just miraculous. And of course, so when the resentments go, the forgiveness comes and gave me these moments of ability to be forgiving. It's not my 100% every day I walk through life forgiving, but I have a willingness. I do have a willingness, you know. And what I definitely don't want to do, there's an old-time speaker that I love to listen to. I don't like to get up in the morning, get my coffee, and turn on the resentment machine. That doesn't happen, okay? So so I like the fact that this program enabled me to let go of those kinds of behaviors. I also, because I was so grateful every time I uncovered one of these little nuggets of the program, and so grateful that I had sponsors who were revealing this stuff to me, I began to feel more appreciative and more grateful than I'd been in the past. And that's a pretty good way I've discovered to improve relationships, to be more grateful. And it helped me to let go of a lot of a sense of entitlement that I would own that would put a lot of divisiveness between me and other people. And by the time that I was doing my ninth step amends, I was getting reintroduced to friendships that I had let go or damaged beyond repair. I've lost one relationship since I've been in program. And I want to talk about that because sometimes failures are successes too. The precipitating event for breaking this relationship was me, was my fault, was a wise-ass remark that I had made without thinking. However, all of the program efforts that I put into trying to restore that relationship, eventually I knew I had done all I could. And the fact that the relationship never has gotten restored, I was able to let go of that and know that I had done all I could do, and that the door is open. If that relationship ever had the opportunity to get rekindled, I'd be willing. I wouldn't be holding a grudge that, oh, well, I wanted to get forgiven and you didn't forgive me. No. Doing those amends isn't so much about making them forgive you as making me forgive myself for having made the mistake in the first place. So another powerful lesson, so even though I originally said decisions, this one's not really a decision, it's a lesson, is grief for me. How to handle grief and loss. Before OA, I never could acknowledge grief in my life. I had to just block out a lot of big losses that had occurred in pre-OA days. And my first year in program, my little dog, who was 7, her name was Phoebe, died. And I felt not just this grief over Phoebe, but what happened, because I never felt these other griefs, was I felt all these other griefs. And I had my sponsor with me, and I didn't eat over this. So this was like the first big thing that happened in OA when I came back that could have threatened my refraining from compulsive eating. That because I had tools, because a sponsor is a tool, because I had meetings, because I was willing, I was able to feel it. And ironically, just months after going through losing Phoebe, my sponsor died. But I had my step sponsor. I had my meetings. I had my OA phone call that I make every day. I had people I could feel this with. I had people in program that were grieving this loss with me because they had lost a sponsor and an OA friend as well. And so that was actually the first time I ever experienced grief in community. And so my OA relationships are very important to me. So I hear now I made it through the first year. Get into my second year, I've done my 9th step amends, I've got these really important friends back in my life. I'm feeling like, you know what, I must be moving towards graduation here. this is all going pretty good here. And I always wondered, I mean, I was really baffled about this whole idea that you would be in the program for 14 years, still going to meetings, working steps and stuff. It was like, why would you do that? Why do you have to do that? Why would you want to do that? And of course, what I know today is that I have to keep doing it because life keeps happening. Excuse me. That'll be on the recording, okay? Well, then they'll know it was me, because if you've ever heard me speak before, I barely can ever get through. But what happened was 9/11, and that really was probably the most frightening day of my life that I let myself feel. And so I didn't eat over it. I didn't even want to eat over it. I wanted to go home, and I made the decision that that was the best place for me to be, and, you know, let my employer know that I needed to leave and do that. But I didn't want to go home and just sit there by myself and eat. I wanted to go home. I wanted to be there in case Deb called or my son called. I wanted to be there to let my family that's out of the area know that we were safe, as far as we could tell after the Pentagon. And so I, after 9/11, I did a fear inventory. I'd done one. When I did my first fourth step, the sponsor says, you know, okay, so you've done the resentments and you've done the harms, and, you know, now you need to do the fear. You know, oh, I don't need to do that. I don't have any. So, you know, so yeah, I had done the fear inventory. But now it was like, okay, wait a minute. Whoa, okay, I have a tool I can use. And so I was able to do a fear inventory. And what that led me to do was to become more willing to tell people that were important to me how important they were. And so I've only got 5 minutes left, so I want to end by talking about how did my relationship with my higher power change. I did not have much of a relationship with my higher power when I came back, but I always believed in God. I hadn't let go of that. And I just felt that I'd be able to say that I was agnostic about applying that relationship in my life at that time. And so the tools, again, of the program, the steps, opened up that dialogue. And I am a great fan of our 12-step prayers. So the way I started back my relationship was to become willing to just pray for the knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out and leave it there. So no more directions to God about what I needed, wanted, he should do. I started, my sponsor again had started me off right away as soon as I was willing to say, you know what, I think I can thank God every day for an abstinent day. That was all he needed. He goes, well, you know, why don't you go ahead and start praying the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer and the serenity prayer every day. So I zeroed in on the part of the third step prayer, relieve me from the bondage of self. That was a powerful mantra. And then one day it dawned on me, oh yeah, why? So I might become more useful. Wow, what a concept. Started to look at the seventh step prayer, again, from that same thing, to get rid of these character defects so that I might be more of service. The serenity prayer is like a quick checklist, you know? It's like, is there anything I actually can do about this situation? Then I should do it. And if I can't, then I don't have to give this any more thought. So big change on that front. And probably what, got a minute left? Yeah. I'm embarking on this new unknown relationship territory because while I've learned how to be a better friend, mother, sister, grandmother, mother-in-law, worker, colleague, I haven't had the opportunity, I want to use that word, to find out if I can be sane in an intimate relationship today. I did a great job of leaving a 20-plus year relationship using program tools, which I feel very good about, and we have a great relationship post-relationship. Co-parenting, Chloe. But I don't know what it's going to be like to be in relationship, and but I feel ready for it today, and I feel hopeful. Even though I'm old, I still feel hopeful. And so that's that. Thanks.
Thanks.